Good evening. When I was younger, I often went over to a friend's house to play outside or do whatever we did when we were younger. Or many times I would go to a neighborhood pool and we would swim for most of the day. And occasionally during those times, we would hear the very famous music of an ice cream truck passing by. And although I've never ever gotten anything from an ice cream truck, I do remember what kind of feelings it brought up inside of me. I would see other kids rush towards it, and I would think to myself, well, it is hot outside, isn't it? Ice cream does sound good, doesn't it? And I would let this mull over in my mind for a little while until I was seeing if I could get enough money together that maybe, you know, I could get an ice cream bar myself. It never happened, but I'm still here, and that's just fine. But today, ice cream trucks don't longer really appeal to me. But it does have a very strong theme. We still don't, in our lives today, every one of us has ice cream trucks that pass us by, no matter what. And they make us feel unhappy. They make us feel discontented with the lives that we have, or with the things that we have. And although these may not be ice cream trucks now that we're older, they can be for sale signs in front of a house that we think we desperately need. Some are want ads for cars that are nicer and newer than the ones we drive. Or they can even be the lives that our neighbors and our friends live. This is a very famous study that went out, and it was just a survey, and many of you probably already have heard it, but just for the ones that maybe haven't. Many people were, I'm not quite sure how many, but many people were interviewed about the American dream and what they thought, for income-wise, what would be their ideal income? What would they be content with having? And those people that made $25,000 that were polled said that they would have to make $54,000 for them to be content, for them to be happy. And then the people who made $100,000 said that they would have to make $192,000 to be happy and content with their lives. Now that means roughly that most Americans believe that they would have to make almost double what they make right now for them to live a happy, a content, and a joyful life. I would like to start off by giving my own definition. I didn't even look the definition up in the dictionary, but give my own definition of what contentment means to me. Contentment is an inward attitude of the heart that submits to and delights in God's care in every situation. Contentment is an inward attitude of the heart that submits to and delights in God's care in every situation. No matter what is happening in our life, everyone can know contentment. God's word tells us how to do it. And it's found partially in Philippians, the 4th chapter, starting in the 10th verse. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read just the first half of this passage, verses 10 through 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul expresses his thanks here to the Philippian people, the brothers there and sisters there at the church, for the gift that they sent Paul. They sent Paul Epaphroditus to Paul to meet all of his needs that were needed. As he'll say a little bit later on in the passage, if we would continue reading, he is for the moment fully supplied. But that is not where his contentment comes from. In fact, it's the very opposite. There is a secret to being content when you're being extremely blessed, and a way to be content when you still have want. It is letting God control your life and understanding that no matter what goes on the outside, you have total control of your reaction to the situation on the inside. John 15, verse 5 tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, it doesn't get too much clearer than that, does it? Without Christ in our lives, we can do absolutely nothing. On one hand, we have Christ. He is our root. He is the vine, and we are his fruit. We are the branches. And through him, we can do lasting things here on this earth. But alone, we can do nothing of lasting value. Whether you are experiencing plenty or want in your life right now, the secret to being content is staying connected to Jesus because he is the vine. It is his strength that will provide the contentment you need. It is his power that will help you find hope, even when you feel like no one is there. When you are spending time on a regular basis praying to Jesus, studying God's Word, and surrendering your life to the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that no matter what else is going on in your life, you will feel more content. Because when you're living your life connected to Jesus Christ, you'll begin to understand that nothing happens to your life without his knowledge. Nothing that happens, either good or bad, in any situation can take you away from God's love. Going back to what Paul said in the 13th verse here in Philippians 4, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. In other words, he's saying, as long as I'm connected to the power and the strength that Jesus Christ gives, I will be content with whatever circumstances come upon me. Contentment comes from living a life where you understand your priorities, and everything in your life pales in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus. That's very, very powerful. It's understanding your priorities and then knowing that no matter what happens, whether it be big or small, you're connected with Christ and you see things as a whole rather than in just different pieces. All of a sudden, having the best material things and needing to receive everything you desire in life becomes less important to you. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. Just a few pages over. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If you will live your life relying on God's power and focusing your mind on heavenly things rather than what's going on here on earth, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, whether it be any material things, if you understand and you're connected with Christ and focus on heavenly things, these things here on earth will have less of a value to you. And I would like to go now back to Philippians in verse 12. It's really important. In verse 12, 12, he says that I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Notice there that he didn't say I was born with or I inherited. He said that I learned to be content in every situation, no matter what it was. It's very powerful. I don't believe that having contentment, I don't believe that you can inherit it or that it just comes naturally to you. I believe that you have to learn it as Paul did. And it sounded like it was a struggle for him in many ways, but through over time, if you have the right mindset, it should just come naturally. I'd like to read just a short story. It's in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 17. And this is the story of the Shunammite son, or the Shunammite woman. And to give some background on this, Elisha, and I'm going to read most of the story, but Elisha did a lot of traveling. And when he went to this place, I forget where it was, but where the Shunammite woman, where she stayed at, the Shunammite woman, she made a room for Elisha to stay at, and he was extremely grateful for this room. Starting in verse 11, one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The Lord blessed the lady, as it said in earlier verses, and she felt obligated in her heart. It said that she was a wealthy woman. She felt obligated in her heart to do something to Elisha, the man of God, as she called him. So she made him a room. And he wanted to repay her for that room. And this was her only response. Found in verse 13, she replied, I have a home among my own people. Elisha could have given her many things, many things. But she was content with what she had, a home among her own people. What else could she ask for? Many people may say that once I reach a certain level, or once I make a certain amount, or have a certain job, then I will become happy. Then I will be content with what I have. But what happens is when they reach that certain level or that certain plateau that they try so desperately to reach, not only are their internal problems still there, but they might have even more problems on the outside. So many people try to solve their discontentment by stimulating themselves externally instead of looking to God to help stimulate themselves inside. We need to remember the words of David in Psalms 9, 9 through 10. It says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. David, just like Paul, was extremely content in every situation. He knew that God was his strength and his shield, no matter if he was a shepherd boy getting picked on by his brothers, or if he was one of the mightiest kings in the world. He looked for God, he looked to God for his contentment throughout his entire life. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Paul said that no matter what I gain here on this earth, it doesn't matter because it's not his. Nothing that we have here on earth is ours. It's only borrowed. So how can we try and gain more items or try and reach different plateaus in our lives and challenge ourselves when it's not really ours? We don't possess them. It's God's. Food and clothing was all that Paul wanted. And many times he had it. Other times he didn't. But he was still content in all of his circumstances. Those who want much are always much in need. Happy the man to whom God gives with a sparing hand what is sufficient for his wants. Three things happened when I heard the sound of the ice cream truck. First, a seed was planted in my mind, just a small seed. The truck distracted me from what I was doing at that moment in time. The second thing that happened is that I thought of my current situation that I was in and what I would feel like if I received what I wanted. Lastly, discontentment set in. I was no longer happy with what I had, and I longed for what I thought would make me happy on the outside. How many ice cream trucks pass your way every day during your life, and how do you respond to each and every one of them? I mentioned earlier that contentment is an inward attitude of the heart that submits to and delights in God's care in every situation. You can only be content through Christ Jesus. It's the only way because he makes you content within your heart. Other things may satisfy you physically, but Christ is eternal, and only he can give you eternal life. If you would like to make Jesus part of your life, we urge you to please come forward as we stand and sing. Or if there is anything else that you'd like to bring forward to the congregation at this time, we urge you to do so as we sing the invitation song.